Hi everybody. This first story is actually a story of my own and it relates to a time quite a few years ago when I was actually quite unwell. Yeah, very unwell actually. And I went to see a psychiatrist in our local mental health services. And after I told them the story of what where I've been and what had happened to me, sort of thing. They looked at me and with a sort of a quiet compassion, they said these words: "For what you've been through, it's normal to experience what you're experiencing." And I remember, like I'd shared those words with other people, but I think just for my, when I talk to people in distress and so on. But when I heard it myself, there was like a kind of a relief, sort of flooded my soul that, it is normal. For what you've been through, this is normal. And that you're not alone. And someone got the struggle that I was in, someone that could help me find a way through it. And now, look, I've never seen that psychiatrist again, but it was a sense of invitation to an acceptance of human frailty that has kind of just stuck with me. And it's something that I try and offer to others to sort of normalize what they're experiencing. Not to say that it's a great thing, but it's just to say, yeah, this is kind of, what you've been through. This is what you, and so, often I'll use these kinds of phrases, which are in the on the blog post, which you'll find a link in the show notes. This is normal for what you've been through. This is normal for what you're going through. In fact, I'd be more concerned if you weren't experiencing these things. And another one is, this may seem strange, but it's healthy to feel the way you do. It's normal, and I want to help you move through it. Then I might say normal is good. And it's normal for the body to respond that way. That I'm not minimizing what they're experiencing or maximizing it. I just want to normalize it. Let's work with normal and not try to be something we're not. And together we'll get through it. One of the benefits I have found of reading or listening to the Bible every day is that you encounter people like ourselves living out normal everyday life. Okay, these characters in the Bible are, from thousands of years ago. They face similar kind of experiences. They face loss, love, joy, abandonment, fear, and it's all there in the Bible. And I've not, for once yet, found any cape crusaders, Marvel superheroes, or magic wand wavers. And I think we all want those sort of people, and maybe we think we should be those sort of people. But that's the point of the Bible, is that one of the points of the Bible is that it's full of dusty, flawed and failing people like ourselves. And sometimes we can look quite harshly at some of those biblical characters and say, we would never be like that, or we would never do that. But in the same situation, under the same sort of pressure, and with the same natural winky wonky human thinking that we have, we could well make the same choices and decisions, and often many of us do. And one of the most precious things I know is that Jesus spent most of his time with people who deeply knew what it was to face their humanity, that they were fragile and they needed a sense of connected security. And I think that is the gift that Jesus brings to his followers. And if he was physically here, he'd still do the same thing. But that was something that he would do, that he did when he was in walk the dusty roads that we walk. And post crucifixion, we step into little stories of a resurrected Jesus coming into the normal pendulum swings of human emotion. And one of those stories post resurrection is this one here. Jesus appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." Now that's kind of like a normal sort of welcoming to say, "Hey, peace be with you. I'm here." And they thought they were seeing a ghost and were scared half to death. Just picture yourself that in that place, like, what is this? Look at it. Is it a ghost? And he continued with them. I love that. He continued with them. He didn't take off and can't be bothered with you guys anymore. He just continued on. He continued on with their flawed humanity. And I'm glad he still does that with me and you. And he said these things. Don't be upset. Now he didn't say that in a commanding voice. Don't be upset. No, he just said, don't be upset. And don't let all these doubting questions take over. I like that because we have doubting questions and they can quickly just take over us. He went on, he says, look at my hands, look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me. Look me over from head to toe. He was inviting them to really examine. He said, a ghost doesn't have muscle and bone like this. And as he said this, he showed his hands and his feet. And they still couldn't believe what they were seeing. It was too much. It seemed too good to be true. And he asked, do you have any food here? And they gave him a piece of leftover fish they had cooked. He took it and ate it right before their eyes. And it was just incredible, like that. Okay, you're looking at me. You're still passing. So I'm just going to do even something more out of the box. I'm going to eat some of your fish. Like Jesus would need to eat any food, earthly food. I don't think so, but he did it anyway, just to bring them back to saying, "Hey, I'm still here. This may seem completely out of the norm, but this is the normal that I'm in." And I'm in your normal too. And Jesus didn't chastise them or tell them off for any supposed lack of faith or doubt. Very gracious. Instead, he acknowledged the humanity of their responses and that welcomed them to look, examine, feel, and even to feed him. This is a normal response, but you're going to be okay. Your response, Jesus followers, that's a normal response to what you've gone through. But I'm just telling you, you're going to be okay. I haven't really left you. He was welcoming them into kind of a new norm. We doubt, we question, we want more facts, we want everything tied up in nice little bows so we feel completely secure. We want perfection of our theology, and then Jesus messes with our mind and eats our broiled fish. Oh, I love Jesus, but he does mess with my mind. Look, I want to hold hands with normal, to be so grounded in my humanity that I can give grace to my failings and fumblings and not harsh perfectionist judgment. This quote I like from Darrell Johnson. Justice is getting what we deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. And I want to live in grace, and I want to live in giving grace to other people's failings and fumblings. It's the gift we need to give others. We offer our normalized crucifixion experiences of life. Look me over. I've got the scars of normal. And we ground the present experiences back to normality and we offer a way forward. Then then perhaps others can forgive them, or we can forgive it. Others can forgive themselves, we can forgive ourselves, and forgive those who have crossed the line, trespassed against ourselves. And we can, when we understand normal and people aren't superheroes, we can forgive. And what we discover and share what that normal humanity looks like when we, I get really, we so, see so many models and social media and people living certain lives, and we think that's the normal. Well, it's not. That's not. I want to bring people back to normal. Some quotes. These are all from a guy called David Benner. He's wonderful. Self-acceptance always precedes genuine self-surrender and self-transformation. Genuine self-knowledge begins by looking at God and noticing how God is looking at us. The self that begins the spiritual journey is the self of our own creation, the self we thought ourselves to be. This is the self that dies on the journey. The self that arrives is the self that was loved into existence by divine love. This is the person we were destined from eternity to become. The I that is hidden in the I am. And this final quote, any hope that you can know yourself without accepting things about you that you wish were not true is an illusion. I'll read that again. That's really good. Any hope that you can know yourself without accepting the things about you that you wish were not true is an illusion. Reality must be embraced before it can be changed. Our knowing of ourselves will remain superficial until we are willing to accept ourselves as God accepts us, fully and unconditionally, just as we are. David Bennett. It's from a really good book called The Gift of Being Yourself. Questions. When has someone normalized you into acceptance? Like they've said, actually, that's a normal response. The way you're responding is normal to what you've been through. Which of David Benner quotes grabbed your attention and why that one? Number three, how much do you think comparing yourself to others or to what we think others are like shifts us away from our the norm? How does looking and focusing on the abnormal, cosmetically enhanced, airbrushed social media stars living the way they do, create a disconnection and lack of acceptance of imperfect humanity? That's lots of big questions, but you get my point, you know. If you keep on focusing on the social media stars, on the supposedly people who've got it all together, how does that create a disconnect with actually reality, with the norm? Good stuff. And here's an exercise. Journal your normal and finish each sentence with, and that's normal. E.g., when I get physically tired due to lots of, this is personal, when I get physically tired due to lots of work, I can often spiral down in my emotions and thought life, and that's normal. Hey, I love people who are accepting of their normal, of accepting their frailty and their fumblings. And if you want to have a talk with me, want to jump online, have a chat sometime, love that. And there's emails, addresses, and all the rest in the show notes. And if you really enjoyed what I've shared, hit the subscribe button, and I'll feed you some more stuff. And if you want to email me, there's all the information in the show notes. But until then, know that what you're experiencing is probably quite normal, and that it's okay. Okay, bye.